And I really don't know the reason. But in years past, when I would go to Walmart or places like that, I would get told Happy Holidays. But I'm being told Merry Christmas this year by a lot of people. One of my favorite things in the past, just because I have a sinful nature, is when people say Happy Holidays, is to say Merry Christmas back to them. But has anybody else noticed that more people are saying Merry Christmas this year? I just think that's really cool. I have no idea why, but I just think it's really cool. Maybe it's God. Probably is God. So, if you want to turn, not that we've read these scriptures here in a very long time, but turn to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I just thought it was interesting. There's about 7,800 verses in the Bible, and Terry, I was about to hand him my notes and tell him just to finish it out. But I know this is a popular verse for Christmas, but it's actually about the first time I've ever really used it at Christmas time, I think. So, Father, we just thank you for who you are, what you've done, and ask that you would go before us, for you are God. And, Lord, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Maybe it's the conception of Jesus, as James kind of talked about, as some people think. But regardless, it's this day, but prayerfully every day, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because without that birth, we'd be in serious doo-doo, Father. So we thank you for it. We thank you for that tremendous love. And we pray that for all the folks that are on the road, that are traveling and going in different directions, getting together with loved ones, and especially for those of us that might be getting together with people who don't know the Lord. We just pray, Father, that our light would shine, that the salt would be used liberally, and that we would have testimonies of loved ones, of relatives and friends coming to know you during this season. Use us, Father. Let our light shine. Let us, the light shine of that city set on a hill, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Well, Merry Christmas to all. It's a delightful time of the year. It was cool to see the snow that we actually, I guess it's the first white Christmas in 7 years. I'm still trying to figure out the significance of that, but some people seem to really like it. And it's good to see Michelle and Christian, because Michelle told me the other day if it had any snow on the ground, because they're from Colorado, they wouldn't be here because they're not used to it. But this is a glorious day. It's a glorious day. So I just want to briefly look at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Starting with Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And I'll give you just a little bit of background. Israel had just released the good fortune of being released from Babylon, from Cyrus. And they were rejoicing and excited, and rightfully they should. But then along comes this prophet Isaiah, and he's saying, you know, it's good to be glad about that. It's good to rejoice over that. But guess what? There's something even greater that you need to rejoice over. There's something even greater that we need to focus on, that the nation of Israel needs to focus on. And that's the coming of the Christ child. And that's why he goes into these things. Unto us a child is born. Now I want you to have a little interaction here. I want you to picture a baby in your mind, whether it's your child, a grandchild, a niece, nephew, whatever it is. But picture a baby in your mind. What do you see? Just toss out some words. What do you see as you're looking at that baby in your mind? Just toss out some words. Soft. Soft.
Helpless.
Bald. Pardon?
Bald.
Bald. Innocent. Humble, Pun?
Unpredictable.
Unpredictable at times.
A gift.
A gift?
Dependent.
Dependent.
Chubby.
Chubby.
Pardon?
Beautiful. Now, I've gotten in trouble when some mothers have looked at their babies and it's the most beautiful thing in the world, and I look at it and go, it's kind of red and ruddy. It's not really that beautiful to me. So I've learned over the years. But beautiful? New? Anything else? Human? And, pardon?
Innocent?
Innocent? Human, but when you look at it, there's almost this look of divineness in it, in this little baby. I remember the first time I looked at the quadruplets. Of course, they were born at 30 weeks, and the youngest one, which was Aaron, the tiniest one, Aaron, she wasn't the youngest. She was 3 seconds old, younger than some of the others, or older, however it was, whoever that came first. But she could literally lay in your hand. 2 pounds. And you just looked at it, and it was, there was a beauty about him, but it was the beauty about him was the miraculous of the miracle of their birth. And in 30 weeks, they were alive. And one of them actually went under surgery the day after they were born, day or two after they were born, for a blockage in their intestine. But they're all 5'9", 5'10", 6 foot now, so they're not as cute. But this is what you see, and what he's saying here is untwist a child is born. So what we just described, this is who came in to the world to overcome our enemies. Now think about that. This little, sweet, innocent, beautiful, powerless, humble child. This vulnerable child, you know, contrary to what you might believe at times, you know, he had to have his diapers changed. He cried. He was hungry. Okay? And yet this is the one that came into the world and was our only hope. I want you to think about, I'm just briefly running through this, and this is this whole section, two verses of scripture, is where you can put your Berean hats on and really go into a greater depth. Second part, unto us the Son is given. Hebrews 1:5 says this, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? That's directly out of Psalm 2:7. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And that's directly out of 2 Samuel 7:14. See, God gave us this baby. He gave us his son. And the thing that we need to grasp is he didn't give it to just the natural Israel, but he gave it to spiritual Israel, the church also. He chose to use this innocent baby, this child that was growing up, to be our salvation. Now, I've sat around and thought about this and talked with the Lord, and as I can arrogantly do at times, mention to God, well, if I was God, this is how I would have done it. Why did you do it this way? Okay? Because it's not how we would have done it. But he sent his child, and he sent it with the purpose to grow up and to go to a cross. That our salvation is contained within that child because of what he chose to do, and he did choose to do. All you have to do is go to the Garden of Gethsemane and see what he prayed 3 times. Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but your will, 1, 2, 3 times. To show his the emotions, but also to show his obedience. And he grew up in humility. He started in a manger. He didn't have great wealth. His parents didn't have great wealth. He was probably a carpenter. He was a carpenter. But his ministry started at the age of 30. And there's all kinds of things you can say into that, going back into the Jewish tradition and laws and so forth about you become an adult at 30 and different things like that. But it opened a door to salvation that all those believe. What an amazing and glorious gift. And then he goes on and says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, when you look at that, what he's saying there is the shoulders, why he uses the shoulders. When you bear a load, where do you sometimes put it? See, it speaks to the strength of Jesus. It's a symbol of the power that Jesus had and his ability to carry things. That he, God, knew that he could put the rule of what he was called to rule upon his shoulders, and that he would be able to carry that burden that was placed there by God, and that he wouldn't fail. God knew that. See, he didn't do it as a mere mortal, though, when he walked on the earth for 33 plus or minus years. He didn't do it as a baby. He didn't do it as a child. But he did it as the greatest of all, as it says in Revelation 17:14, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now, those are amazing titles. And when you look at those three things, you know, child is born, unto a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And then you go into the next part here in Isaiah, the second part, and talks about names that God gave him above and beyond those three. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I think about these five names, not just on December 25th, but throughout the year, because they provide great comfort. They provide amazing comfort. See, names are extremely significant to God and therefore to the nation of Israel, and therefore I think it should be to spiritual Israel too. That they often overshadow coming events, and it embodies the word of the Lord as he is putting forth in these names. Now, I'm just going to go over these five briefly. Again, I would encourage you to put on your Berean hats and study them out. So just sit before the Lord, meditate. What do you mean by counsel? What do you mean by mighty God and all these things I'm going to really briefly run through? His name shall be called Wonderful. See, what he's saying there, his name is an exciting thing. It's an exciting wonder. It's marvelous. This name is something that is to be held, to lift it up, and to be astonished by. Because it's awesome. I mean, it's the greatest name ever. And the word wonderful there actually indicates that we can expect something more exciting from Christ than what we have seen from God to this point. And what is more exciting than the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus, which led to our salvation? And as we read, and as we pray, and we seek him, as we meditate upon him, as we just sit before him, and as we even talked about, was it Hebrews 5, 6, I think it was, about approaching him reverently, that we just sit there and wonder of him. That we will see things about him, the love and the majesty, and we will just be overwhelmed with amazement of who this Jesus is. And as we do that, we will constantly grow in amazement at his beauty, as his depth, at his nature, and his wonder as we pursue him. See, in Jesus, there is hidden many amazing treasures, all of which are available to us. All treasures of love, of joy, peace, healing, authority, freedom, deliverance. Some of the greatest healing in the world can take place as we're just sitting there in the presence of the living God, thinking about how his name is called Wonderful, how awesome he is, how he is such a beautiful person, and the love that he has for us. In Christ are hidden numerous treasures. His name shall be called Counselor. Why can he be called Counselor? Because he is absolute wisdom. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1:24 or Ephesians 1:17 or Colossians 1:9 or even other places in the Bible, that they will speak to the infinite wisdom that he has. That's why it's so important for us to follow the Holy Spirit in everything we do, whether it's in the church service, whether we're at work, whether we're walking down the street, everything we do. It's always good to constantly be checking in. Okay, what do you got for me? And be as sensitive to him, because he might have you walk across the street, lay hands on a person in a wheelchair, and see that person get up out of the wheelchair. Look what he did with Peter and the other guys, fishermen. Why not have that expectation? Why not believe that he can do that? I think we're going to see that more and more. As counselor, he stands always ready, and he's always faithful to receive us into his presence, to listen to him, to hear his wisdom, to hear his guidance, to hear the truths that he knows better than any of us, to share with us. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of going away for a few days, for about 3 days, for just to spend time with the Lord. And when you set the time aside and you focus on him, you say, God, I just want to meet with you. Who was it? Was it Terry a little bit ago that said, he's just got a lot to say? If you saw my notes, you'd see I'd ask this question and I'd write down God and I'd get this answer. Now, for 70 hours or whatever I was there, he wasn't constantly speaking. A lot of the time I was just sitting there in his presence. And then something my wife has taught me well, I can go, Lord, is there anything you want me to know? Because he's wisdom. And we need to understand that our wisdom is folly before him. He's ever ready to share the truth with us, that we no longer walk in a lie or deception. What do we say in the past? That Satan is constantly lying to us, just trying to deceive us, accusing us. Well, when we know the truth, you can't be accused. When you know your innocence, you can't be sentenced or judged. He's the perfect counselor. He provides perfect truth, perfect direction, and perfect wisdom. His name will be called Mighty God, which is Al-Gabor, if I pronounced it right. I forgot to hit the little button that tells me how to pronounce these words. I've got my software. Jesus, what he's saying here, Jesus will have the might and power of God, that he is God. See, and you know how powerful he is? He is so powerful that he will be able to withstand all the evil that the enemy of God can throw at him and not be moved from his destination, to wit, the cross, and carrying all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. 2,700 years plus whatever. He is powerful. He's like a mighty army. That's why we need to allow him to be our defender. That's why we need to allow him to fight our fights. Not that we don't make the right choice to stand in truth. Not that we don't do the things that God tells us to do in Scripture, but to rely upon him and the wisdom of Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's like a mighty army. And because he's mighty, we can rely upon him and his strength in all of our battles. What's it say in Psalm 23? Fear not. What's it say in a lot of other places? Because he leads us to lie down in great places. Especially those battles are not of the flesh and blood. And most of the battles we fight are not of flesh and blood, but they're battles with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that it talks about in Ephesians 6:12. We've been praying for a long time for Isaac, and there's a number of us that are absolutely convinced that there's a huge spiritual battle going on. That this little boy has a call upon him, and Satan is doing everything he can to try and stop it, but he won't. Even with the latest of possibly breaking his leg. But see what a blessing it is, what mercy, what grace, what a person he is, that Christ is willing to stand up for us and help all of us to walk through the battles for all of our days. His name will be called Everlasting Father. See, Jesus is the Father of the age. He's an eternal, perpetual God. And where that Father comes in is, unlike kings who called themselves Father, yet died. But he is the Father who will not die. But here's another thing about him. He is a Father that will not forcibly impose himself upon us. And yet he woos us. The free will that we need to kick in and say, yes, that is the truth. That is what I need to be. Because he's a father who sacrifices himself for his children. He preserves the existence of his church throughout the ages through what he is doing, through intercession today and everything else he is doing. So that we too, those of us who are in Christ, will be preserved for all eternity. What an amazing person. And as last as his name will be called Prince of Peace. Yes. Prince of Peace. See, God is declaring here through the prophet Isaiah that the coming of Christ, one of the fruits, will be full and perfect peace. Who of us here, besides all of us here, have tried to find peace in another person or in an object or in a whatever, only to have it fail? But as we focus on God, as we make our priority system centering on God, and that's our priority system, we can walk in that full and perfect peace, because he comes in peace and he establishes peace. It came with Christ coming, full and perfect peace. But it's there and it's available as we press into him, as we spend time with him, as we seek after him, as we submit to the dominion of Christ. I believe we will lead a quiet, peaceful, and blessed life as we walk in obedience to him. What's it say in Romans 5:1? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith as we have believed him, that he is our salvation and he's our Savior. See also Philippians 4:7, Colossians 3:15, and other scriptures as you put on your Berean hats. And look into this further. Because the truth of the matter is, without Christ, our destiny is a life that is restless and miserable. Just look around. Look around at the world. Look around at our own lives when we aren't focused upon the triune God. See, Christ brings composure to our minds and therefore to our lives, causing peace to hold the highest place in our hearts. And it will never end. That's what it says in Isaiah 9:7, first part, A. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Interpretation, there will be no end. The prophet is basically saying here, isn't this an amazing thing? Isn't this marvelous? And guess what, folks? It will never end. His government will reign eternal. It's a theocracy speaking to direct divines from God and governed by God, but also through his appointed leadership during the church age, which the Berean literal puts, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, shepherds, and teachers. His government will reign eternally because Jesus is the final king. There's no greater king coming after him. There's no other king coming after him. Well, maybe King William. No, I'm just kidding. He is the king that will end all kings. None will follow. None can hold a candle to him. Because he will not forsake us. He will not rule. He does not rule selfishly. He's all about us. That's why it's important to get together with him, like I was talking about earlier. If I could encourage all of us to go away for a couple of days just to get out of the house and go someplace. Camp out, do something. Take your favorite music. You know, I filled the room up with music from Glacier and Rocky Mountains with elk bugling and wolves howling. This is who I am. He's the king that will end all kings. He will not forsake us. He will complete that which he has begun unto the day of Christ Jesus. His kingdom knows no end. We can get up and do a shout about this. We can get up and dance. You know, it's the whole thing. We can celebrate that Lee is right there. She knows this better than any of us. Dance on streets that are golden and look like glass or whatever it is. I doubt that she's standing in the presence of Jesus. She's probably on her face before the Lord. But such joy. She's overwhelmed with joy. She's overwhelmed with peace. She's overwhelmed with the presence of the living God. And that's what we've got to look forward to. And that's the promises that these names give us to help us walk through life. And that's why I look at them from time to time and meditate upon them, because he's there. He's all these things to me. He's all these things to us. And as I was going through this, I was just messing around looking at some of the commentaries. I ran across this quote by John Calvin, which I think puts it all in perspective. And he says this. Now just close your eyes and listen to this. It's not up there, sorry, but it's just not. Now to apply this for our own instruction, whenever any distrust arises and all means of escape are taken away from us, whenever, in short, it appears to us that everything is in a ruinous condition, let us recall to our remembrance that Christ is called wonderful, because he has inconceivable methods of assisting us, and because his power is far beyond what we are able to conceive. And when we need counsel, let us remember that he is the counselor. When we need strength, let us remember that he is mighty and strong. When new terrors spring up suddenly every instant, and when many deaths threaten us from various quarters, let us rely on that eternity of which he is, with good reason, called the Father. And by the same comfort, let us learn to soothe all temporal distresses. When we are inwardly tossed by various tempests, and when Satan attempts to disturb our consciences, let us remember that Christ is the Prince of Peace, and that it is easy for him quickly to allay all our uneasy feelings. Thus will these titles confirm us more and more in the faith of Christ and fortify us against Satan and against hell itself. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But even more so, hopefully that's why we celebrate Christmas 365 days a year. I will admit something to you. I, over the ages, have not become the greatest fan of Christmas. And the reason being is it bothers me that we pick one day to celebrate the birth of Jesus, when we should be celebrating on May 1st, October 17th, August 23rd, April 9th, November 14th, February 6th, August the 7th, July the 4th, and on and on and on. And that it's worth going back and looking at these names and going, yes, that applies to me. That's who he is to me. That's amazing. Chris, musicians. We're going to be talking about it a little bit more in the weeks to come. But I am excited about what's coming up. Uh, I was listening to a prophecy the other night by a guy named Jeremiah Johnson, and it's not the mountain man, for those who've seen the movie. And Lance Allnow. And these guys are proven prophets. They prophesied things many years ago that have come to pass, things around the country, around the world, actually. And the things they're prophesying about next year, people like Chuck Pierce, you know, these are prophets that are across the country, Dutch Sheets, others, that, and some of the words he's given us here, actually, that it, what is coming is amazing, but I really believe, and as I've talked to many people, we seem to be in agreement that it's going to be a year of Jesus being lifted up like he's not been lifted up. But out of that comes all the stuff that you saw when he was walking the earth. Out of that comes love. Out of that comes, but so does the power. It comes the experiential. But he's going to be doing it in a way that no man is going to be able to take the credit. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. But it's going to be a great year. And we're looking forward to it. But right now, let's just sing and worship and remember who we're talking about. That he is a mighty God. That he is a great counselor. That he is strong. That he is the Prince of Peace. That he is who he is. Amen. Let's stand.